Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit for the month of May, and today we're going to talk about a Shakespeare play. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I suppose we could talk about Hamlet, or Romeo and Juliet, or Julius Caesar, but we're going to talk about Macbeth in today's lesson.
Macbeth is a great play. There's a lot of action, a lot of horror. There are witches, there are murders. There's a good guy, there are lots of bad guys. It's a great play. So if you get the chance to go, I would really encourage everyone listening to go. Make sure you read the play before you go because the English is very difficult. You know, it's old English. We don't talk like that anymore. But boy, it's a good show. I've seen it.
Yeah, it is interesting, and the English is kind of tough there. You probably won't understand it very clearly, but there are books out there that can help you with it. There's one series that I would recommend called No Fear Shakespeare. I don't know if you've heard it. I think it was written by a bunch of Harvard students. Basically, it gives you the original play on one side, on the left side, and on the right, they give you a modern translation of what they are actually trying to say. So that might help you through the play, Macbeth here. But Macbeth, of course, is all about ambition and anguish, and it's in the play Macbeth.
Or and insanity, too.
all sorts of stuff. Insanity, yeah. Going nuts, killing people, getting paranoid.
Black magic.
Seeing things, imagining people there, and stuff like that. So, and, of course, the three witches hand in hand.
Wow.
So we'll talk about this. We'll summarize the play in today's lesson and in tomorrow's lesson. So let's find out what happens today. Let's listen first to the first part of our lesson read in its entirety.
Thunder rolls above a barren plain. Amid wind, rain, and lightning, three witches stand waiting. Into their presence come Macbeth and Banquo, two Scottish generals returning victorious from battle. The witches hail Macbeth first and speak a prophecy that he will become first a lord and after that a king. Banquo, they add, will be the father of kings. Macbeth does not believe them at first, but a messenger arrives with the news that Macbeth has been made Lord of Cawdor. His ambition kindled, Macbeth begins to dream of power. Later, King Duncan of Scotland plans to stay at Macbeth's castle. Macbeth and his wife discuss the prophecy and hatch a scheme to kill Duncan and rule Scotland themselves. However, Macbeth begins to have doubts, so Lady Macbeth encourages him, urging him to put aside his kind heart and do the deed. She assists her husband by getting Duncan's servants drunk. Macbeth then murders Duncan. And when Duncan's sons flee to save themselves, they are accused of assassinating their father. In the absence of another possible successor, Macbeth becomes king. Banquo, who heard the witch's prophecy, is suspicious of Macbeth, wondering if he took matters into his own hands and fulfilled the prophecy himself. In turn, Macbeth begins to distrust his friend. He is also troubled by the witch's claim that Banquo's children will be kings. To secure his position and remove a potential rival, he hires assassins to kill Banquo and his son. Banquo is slain, but his son escapes. The knowledge of his crimes haunts Macbeth, and he experiences visions of his murdered friend at a banquet. As Macbeth's guilt and madness grow, Scotland begins to suffer under his rule.
All right, everybody, let's summarize today's lesson. It's all about ambition, wanting to do things. If you're ambitious, you want to accomplish a lot of goals. But we've got anguish here, which means kind of suffering mentally. You're neurotic and you're just overly cautious about things. I guess maybe you're a little insane. So there's a lot of ambition, but there's a lot of anguish in Macbeth. mental torture, etc. Now, thunder rolls above a barren plain. That's how the play starts here. That we got thunder there. Lightning, of course, is what you see, and thunder is what you hear. And it's amid wind and rain and lightning. We've got three witches, and they stand waiting there. Okay, so yes, the three witches are gathered together, and into their presence come Macbeth and Banquo, two Scottish generals returning victorious from battle. Okay, so the witches make several appearances in this play. They begin the play, and then later on we have some action, and then we've got Macbeth and Banquo, and they are two Scottish generals returning from battle, and they are victorious. If you're victorious, that means you have won. You defeated the enemy, and the Scottish generals were fighting against somebody there, maybe the Norwegians, if I remember correctly, but they won, and they emerged victorious from battle, but they are now talking to the three witches.
That's right. So we're kind of setting the scene here. You've got the two Scottish generals who are returning. They're probably quite happy because they've won. They've had some victories. If you have a victory, that's a noun. It means you're victorious, which is the adjective. So they return victorious from battle. Must be a great feeling to come back from war and be alive, and not only be alive, but have won the battle. It says here the witches hail Macbeth first. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. To hail somebody just means you greet them, you kind of give them honor. Usually you hail somebody who's quite heroic or famous, or someone who has a lot of power. So the witches, you know, they acknowledge he's there, and they also share a prophecy with him. You'll see hail, though, guys. We usually don't use it in just a casual speech in English, but you will see it in writing. So just remember, it just means to acknowledge someone. And actually, sometimes it's said in a way that actually lets that person know you honor them, you respect what they've done. We often hail a king or queen. Isn't there a song we sing for our President of the United States? Hail to the...
Hail to the Chief.
Hail to the Chief. Yeah, the Chief just being the President. When the U.S. President enters a room and there's some sort of orchestra or band, they will often play Hail to the Chief, or We Recognize the President. So they hail Macbeth first, and then they talk about a prophecy that they have. Remember, they're witches.
Yep, here they're just calling his attention. Hey, Macbeth, we got something to say to you. So they hail him. Maybe during rush hour, you might want to hail a taxi.
We do use it that way, too. We put up our arm to hail a cab.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing here. They're just trying to get his attention, and then they tell him what they think is going to happen to him in the future. So they speak a prophecy to him. They say that he will first become a lord, or I believe in the play it's actually a thane, the Thane of Cawdor. He will become that lord, and after that he will become king of Scotland. So that's a prophecy. That's a prediction about the future.
I think that word thane, by the way, Tom, is only a word they use in Scotland.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that word, guys, but they have different, I guess, different levels that you can attain, at least back then. You know, you could be a lord, a thane, the king of Scotland, anyway. So yeah, they share a prophecy. A prophecy is something that someone, says is going to happen in the future. And you can believe it or you can't. Prophecy is the noun prophesy. A prophet is a person who prophesies, who tells of future events. So they say, hey, dude, you're going to become a lord first, or as Tom said, a thane. And after that, a king. Well, the only way he can be king is for the king of Scotland not to be around, right? So he's not sure how that's going to work. Now, remember, he's with his friend Banquo, and with him, they say that Banquo, this is their prophecy for him, he's going to be the father of kings. Not king himself, but the father of kings. So Macbeth does not believe them at first. They're just some witches. I'm sure they're witches that had bad prophecies. But you know, some people believe in this stuff. He didn't believe them at first, but then what happens, Tom?
Well, yeah, he does not believe them, but a messenger arrives with some news that Macbeth has been made Lord of Cawdor. So, yes, the first prophecy has come true, so that means that maybe Macbeth ought to pay attention to these three weird sisters, the witches here. And his ambition kindled, Macbeth begins to dream of power. So he does see that this prophecy does come true. He has been made Lord of Cawdor, so his ambition is now kindled. Kindle here is a verb. It just refers to starting a fire, basically. Kindle itself is the stuff that we use to start a fire.
Kindling,
right. So he kindles his ambition here. It sort of gets it going. It's burning now. So he thinks, hey, if I can become a lord, I certainly can become the top dog, the number one. I can be the king of Scotland. So he begins to dream of power.
Yeah, that's not always a bad thing, but, since his ability to have power actually has to be, coincides or relates to the king either dying or being killed, his ambition isn't very good. It's kind of evil. So, yeah, his ambition is kindled, it's started, and he begins to dream of power. And power corrupts people, always. So you got to watch out for that. Moving on to the next paragraph, it says, later, King Duncan, he's the real king, he's king of Scotland, he plans to stay at Macbeth's castle. Back then, you'd have the king, and then you'd have all of these lords who owned property. And when a king wanted to, you know, go from one part of his country to another part, he would often stay at these lords' castles. These lords had money too, and so he would, instead of staying at a hotel, which he didn't need to, he would stay at one of the castles of the lords. So he decided to stay at Macbeth's castle. Now, King Duncan has no idea that these witches have prophesied that Macbeth is going to be king one day.
Uh-oh, I think the king is going to be in trouble here, but we'll find out what happens next. We'll take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第15单元。这个单元呢比较长，它的内容谈的是沙翁的四大悲剧之一 Macbeth。我们看一下这个文学作品，当然 Shakespeare 的作品大家可能有听过并没有真的读过，那我们就从这个文章里面稍微认识一下，了解一下这个经典名作它到底在讲什么。首先呢，知道马克白，我们说 Macbeth 他当然是这个剧的主角，那有些人知道他的原名并不是只有一个 Macbeth， 而是 The Tragedy of Macbeth， 也就是说他本来的名字是马克白悲剧。好，我们先看第一个部分，要谈的是这个故事它怎么发展的。文章的开头，先让大家知道当时的背景。他提到 Thunder rolls above a barren plain， 其实这是在讲一个贫瘠而且雷声轰隆作响的平原里，原来有三位关键人物，女巫她出现了。好，那我们注意到一个字 barren。Barren 这个字呢，如果我们用它来表示土地的话，那就代表贫瘠的。它的相反词是 fertile。马克白他一生真的是个悲剧哦，他的命运事实上是谁决定的？到底是他自己，还是真的命运让他最后如此？这三位女巫其实一开始就像是在预告他人生会发生什么事。现在我们的主角 Macbeth跟 Banquo 他们出现了，他们打赢了战争，是战争回来的英雄。而女巫们呢就告诉他一个 prophecy， 也就是预言。这个预言里面说 Macbeth 将来会成为国王，而 Banquo 你会成为王的父亲。当然我们也知道这很玄，听不懂，但是说你会当国王，当然对 Macbeth 来说引发了他的 ambition 野心。好，我们注意到 his ambition kindled 这个句型 kindle 加了 d， 它是过去分词哦，它的主词是 his ambition， 可是 后面半句的主词是 Macbeth， 所以可以看得出来前半句这是一个独立分词片语。换句话说，它省略掉了动词的部分，省略掉了连接词的部分，可是因为这个前半的主词跟后半句真正的主词不一样，前面后面不同的时候，我们必须要保留主词，改成分词构句的结构上，主词保留，但是动词的部分只要保留分词就好。所以His ambition kindled， 他燃起了野心，但是他也开始梦想拥有权力。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. Now, remember, Macbeth has just become Lord of Cawdor, mm-hmm. and the king is happy with Macbeth, and he's going to stay overnight at Macbeth's castle. But Macbeth and his wife, Lady Macbeth, discuss the prophecy and hatch a scheme to kill Duncan and rule Scotland. So, of course, Macbeth told his wife all about the witches, and she says, hey, that's kind of a cool prophecy. That means you're going to be king someday. Mm-hmm. That means I'll be queen. That sounds like a pretty good deal. So they think, well, why should we wait for this to happen naturally? Let's just speed up the process. So this is a scheme, which is a plan, usually an evil plan. It doesn't necessarily have to be evil, but in this particular case, it is a very complicated plan that they have come up with to kill Duncan and make it look like somebody else did the dirty work so they can get away with it and become king and queen.
Right. A similar word to scheme would be plot. And you'll often see that verb hatch, hatch a plot, hatch a scheme, which just means to start that particular scheme or plot. And as Tom said, in this case, it's an evil plan that they have to kill the king, who is Duncan. And he seems like a nice king, at least in the plays I've seen on stage. King Duncan always comes off as, or is always portrayed as kind of a nice guy. So they decide to, speed up that prophecy and kill the king themselves. However, it says Macbeth begins to have doubts, which sometimes happens. You know, when you think about doing something bad or illegal, you think, wait a minute, do I really want to go down that road and do that? I could get caught. And as he begins having doubts, his wife encourages him. She keeps urging him, you know, don't think about, you know, how kind the king is or how kind your heart usually is. Just kill him. Do the deed means to kill the king here. She assists or helps her husband out by getting Duncan's servants drunk. Of course, a king is going to be protected by servants, but if you get those servants drunk, you can get to the king really easily.
And then Macbeth murders Duncan, and when Duncan's sons flee to save themselves, they are accused of assassinating their father. I don't know if this was part of the scheme, but it sounds like a nice thing to happen for Macbeth. These two sons are fleeing, so it will make them look guilty, and no one will suspect Macbeth.
Yeah, they're accused of assassinating their father. To assassinate someone means that you deliberately kill them, you murder them, and they had no warning of it. We often use it when we are talking about the murder of some sort of leader, country's leader, maybe a city's mayor, something like that. He was assassinated. Someone murdered them. So poor guys, you know, they had nothing to do with it. They were falsely accused. Now, in the absence of another possible successor, Macbeth becomes king. A successor to the throne is the person that will become king after the current king or queen passes away. For example, Queen Elizabeth, her successor is Charles. So Charles will be king when she passes away.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool there if you're into British royalty. But there wasn't really another candidate for the position of king. So here Macbeth becomes the successor and is the king of Scotland. Now Banquo, who heard the witch's prophecy, is suspicious of Macbeth, wondering if he took matters into his own hands and fulfilled the prophecy himself. So remember, Banquo is the other general that was being honored by King Duncan, and also Banquo saw the three witches as well. He's part of their prophecy, but he's kind of suspicious here, you know. Yeah, he got to be king pretty fast there, you know, so maybe something's happening here. I smell a rat. So maybe Macbeth took matters into his own hands. That means you basically do things yourself when you're supposed to wait for other people to take care of it. Like, for example, if there's somebody who committed murder or something and you know that person is guilty, you take matters into your own hands and kill that person yourself. You don't wait for the police to come and arrest that person. You just do justice yourself.
Or maybe you're in a car and you get a flat tire and you call your dad because, you know, it's kind of hard to change the tire, ladies. But finally, you decide to take matters into your own hands and just change the tire yourself. So we use that phrase quite frequently. So, yeah. Banquo is actually great friends with Macbeth, but then when he sees what happens, that the king mysteriously dies so quickly, he thinks, huh, maybe Macbeth did something here. So he wonders if Macbeth took matters into his own hands and fulfilled the prophecy himself. In turn, because Banquo started having these thoughts and started not trusting his friend, in response to that, or in turn, Macbeth begins to distrust his friend as well. You know, he sees that Banquo doesn't really trust him. And so, as a response, he doesn't trust Banquo. That's what that in turn means.
Now they don't trust each other.
No.
So, okay, so it goes on here. Macbeth begins to distrust his friend, and he is also troubled by the witch's claim that Banquo's children will be kings.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, here Macbeth is king, but he's kind of sorry that his children won't be king, so he's not too happy about that. So to secure his position and remove a potential rival, he hires assassins to kill Banquo and his son. So yes, indeed, he just wants to make sure that Banquo doesn't cause trouble later on. So he hires some assassins. Those are people who are hired to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And they do succeed. They do kill Banquo. And they're supposed to kill the son, but the son gets away. Banquo is slain, but his son escapes. Now, here we've got the word slain. That is the past participle of the verb to slay, which means to kill somebody, usually with a sword or with a knife or something like that. And the past tense is slew. Slay, slew, slain. So Banquo is slain by the assassins, but the son gets away. The son escapes.
He does, and the knowledge of his crimes, we're talking about Macbeth here, haunts Macbeth. Oh, he suddenly has a conscience. He feels bad that he did this. A little too late, buddy. If you're haunted by something, it could be a ghost that's coming back and, you know, visits you, or it could be your conscience going, oh, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. So he's not at peace at all, and he experiences visions of his murdered friend at a banquet. A banquet is a large dinner. We have a lot of banquets here in Taiwan when people get married.
Exactly. So I think this banquet occurred very soon after Banquo's murder. So Macbeth is feeling guilty about that. The crimes haunt him. They bother him. And he imagines seeing his murdered friend at this banquet. I think Banquo is sitting in his seat and he says, hey, why is somebody sitting there? And everybody else says, there's no one sitting there. You're nuts. You're crazy. And the banquet has to disperse or has to end because of that. But in any case, yes, a banquet, as you said, is a big feast that people have. It's a formal occasion, and yes, indeed, they invited all these people over for a celebration now that Macbeth is king. So as Macbeth Macbeth's guilt and madness grow, Scotland begins to suffer under his rule. So it's kind of interesting. Macbeth has now become King of Scotland, but he's not really happy about the whole thing. He's feeling guilty about it. He's having illusions about seeing Banquo and other people. So, yeah, I guess if you have the ambition of being king, you better be prepared to have some mental anguish at the same time.
Now, if he had become king, you know, because King Duncan had died, maybe through an illness, maybe he'd feel more at peace. But no, he killed the king, so he doesn't get to have any peace. He feels terrible. Right now, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
我们继续来看，我们知道 Macbeth 跟 Banquo 这两位其实是战争的英雄，但是因为女巫的预言让 Macbeth 想当国王，他有这种权力的梦想。而其实当时的国王是 King Duncan， 这是苏格兰的君主。他本来呢是想留马克白在这个城堡里，结果 Macbeth 跟他的妻子一想到他可以当国王，就想要把这个王给杀了。我们注意到这里有一个动词 hatch a scheme to kill Duncan。他们在筹划，在起这样子的阴谋。 Hatch 本来是代表孵蛋，可是你知道当你说你在密谋一个计划，你用 hatch 这个动词是很漂亮的。接下来我们就晓得 Macbeth 他的太太其实呢在后面怂恿他，甚至于帮助他，最后真的把国王给做掉了。而 Duncan 的儿子呢还被控暗杀了自己的父亲，那这时候没有别的继承者， Macbeth 当然就成了王。好，我们来看一下王位的继承者 successor， 注意到是 OR， 有时候我们在英文的单字里面 OR 还是 ER 常常会觉得有那么点混淆，注意一下拼字的部分。再来就是这个片语 in the absence of another possible successor， absence 代表缺席，In the absence of， 也就是缺乏什么，在他当下没有可能的继承者，所以 Macbeth 就成了苏格兰的王。再来下面一段，我们知道女巫预言说 Macbeth 会成为王。听到这样的预言，我们记得当时在面对女巫的两位，还有一位是 Banquo。 Banquo 当然他就想要知道是不是 Macbeth 最后世上因为女巫的预言就想做掉国王，所以国王其实是 Macbeth 杀的呢？ Banquo 这样的怀疑当然很有道理，可是这也为他引来了杀身之祸。我们注意到这边有一个偏于 in turn， 其实我们知道 in turn 往往代表一种因果关系，这个转折词可能大家比较少用，因为谈因果的时候你会想到 as a result，可是却没有想到 in turn， 这个代表一个因果关系。 Macbeth 因为不信任他的朋友，所以最后为了巩固他的王权，当然也就把 Banquo 给杀了。好，我们今天的讲解就到这边，我们下次见。
Okay, that brings us to the end of today's lesson, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time when we continue to summarize Macbeth. We'll see you then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.